Podcast that spent most of June gleefully slaying throngs of demons, skeletons, zombies, and other hellish creatures. I'm your host for this episode, Jordan Rudek, and tonight we're diving deep into Blizzard's latest major release, Diablo 4. Joining me is my favorite bat out of hell, it's Casey Gibson.
It doesn't suck, thank God.
It's no Diablo Immortal. I think we can agree on that.
Oh,
and that,
goodness. Yeah.
For better, obviously.
Well,
for better.
Season 1's not out yet, so let's not rule out the idea that there'll be some sort of crazy pay-to-win implement. Wow, I can't speak.
You're choked up by the possibility of mobile trappings entering Diablo 4.
Yeah, just losing my gourd already.
That's it. The funny thing is, like, there are going to be thousands of people who've put in 100 hours plus before seasons even begin, which is kind of funny to think, you know.
Like, I'm one of them.
I might be there too. When do the seasons officially begin? Is it beginning of July? Or
I don't think there's an exact date. From what I understand, like, it's sort of going to be the middle of July, I think. So it seems like, yeah, maybe like somewhere between the month and and a half from launch.
Yeah. So you get a good, month and a half, 6 weeks or so before they get into that. That kind of makes sense, you know.
They just did a patch today changing some things around. I don't know if you've been
I read up on the patch a little bit, not a ton. I was reading more the class changes. I didn't look too much at the gameplay and late game stuff, but
yeah, it seemed like the class changes were really sort of small. Like, like, I know the Necro was like, the one ability went from like, oh, it gives you 3 essence to 4 now instead.
Right,
like,
right.
Very small changes. So
I think the Druid got some decent buffs, because I've got a buddy who plays Druid, and he was pretty pleased with some
pretty
of the
happy
stuff that came out. Yeah, as a sorceress with on the fire side, like, I got nothing, so I need to change my build up, I think.
Well, I was gonna say, I think the sorceresses are doing all right though. So.
Oh, they are. I can't complain. Like, I love my sorceresses, but I feel like now it's time. Now I literally rolled credits last night at 1:45 a.m. So I'm like, okay, now it's time to change my build up, because I went fire for 52 levels. I think I just want to see what lightning and ice look like. So
yeah, with me, I did a lot, I feel like a lot of experimenting early on, from pretty much from the very beginning up till maybe like level, like, I feel like in the mid 30s maybe is sort of when I locked into the bone spear build, which I'm going no minions, just hard hitting bone spears, like real hard.
Nice.
So it's been really fun. But I've been locked into that, and I guess we could sort of see where we're at. You said you're what, level 52, and you just beat the game?
Yeah, let's get right into this. So, like, so I'm level 52. I think I've probably put in somewhere in the realm of 25 to 30 hours is my guess, and literally just rolled credits last night, like I said, because I really took my time in the first act. Like, I found all the statues of Lilith. I did probably most of the side quests, and kind of just tried to get everything in that map. And then, you know, I kept hearing all the people talking about, oh, you get a mount, you know, in Act 4 or Act 5 or whatever. And, you know, you want to try to get to the higher difficulties as soon as you can. But it was nice to kind of spend the first 5 to 10 hours just kind of savoring the experience, because I think it is a really good one. And whether you go through it fast or slow or whatever your kind of way of enjoying the game is, like, there's just so much going on. It's a beautiful game. There's so much to it. So many different ways to have a fun experience with it. So yeah, 52 right now. I'm definitely going to get to 100 with at least one character, and then maybe try a few different characters. I want to play through them all at some point, but yeah, just my level 52 sorceress, and then I've got like a level 15 necromancer. So just dabbled a little bit there.
Yeah, I got in the early access, or the 4 days early, whatever you want to call it. And I had a bunch of friends playing, and I was sort of in the, like, all right, I'm just going to not pay too much attention to the story stuff,
yeah,
and sort of get through the game, and then, you know, or get to the end game so we could start seeing how that plays out. So I went through, I don't know for sure, but I would honestly say, you know, I pretty confident over 100 hours played, you know,
sure.
at this point. I'm level 71, Necromancer, and yeah, I'm in the world tier 4, which is the final difficulty. Yeah, so how Diablo 4 does it, it is, yeah, tier 1 is sort of like the hey, I've never played a Diablo game, or I just sort of want to just sort of see what the game's about without, you know, any real consequence. Tier 2 is a little more difficult, and what they do essentially is they give you like a little bit more experience and gold reward and stuff. 3, yeah. You need to be level 50, I believe, you might be able to beat it a little before, but I think
it says 50 to 70. I was just looking at that today, 50 to 70, but you have to have done, I guess at least world credits,
right?
And then you have to finish like another side quest somewhere. I need to do that quest.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure you could do it before 50, but yeah, it's sort of target
too. Yeah.
50. And then same with world tier 4, you have to be, it's level 70.
70 plus, yeah.
But I did it at 68
It's nice that those aren't hard and fast rules then. They're more like suggestions.
Yep, yeah, and because my brother, he's playing a bunch too. I think he's 77 or 78. He's playing a barbarian.
Yeah.
It's so funny because my brother's not really a big gamer. You know, like he'll play like some Call of Duties every once in a while or some Maddens, but Diablo, he comes back to his old fiendish ways of yesteryear. You know, where we were just up till all hours of the morning. But yeah, so he's been playing a bunch, but he was able, I think he did it like level like 64. He said he beat the capstone to world tier 4, but then when he got on there it was sort of too difficult, so I had tried and I just got like demolished at like 63, I think, and I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna level up a bunch.
You go back to tier 3 then, and
yeah, you chill in there. Well the capstone is actually a dungeon in tier 3.
Okay.
So you could just go up to it, but yeah, it'll essentially, it's like, hey, this is a tough, you know, sort of thing. So I went in there and I got sort of demolished. So I was like, yeah, I'll just go back. But yeah, so far, I mean, I've been loving it. There was a little bit of a lull almost because, that last couple levels, I feel like before I got to tier 4 was sort of like a little like, mainly because I feel like it's in a point of the game where it's like, I want to get to that last tier so I can feel like I'm like really starting to get the good items, right? Because like I was still getting some good items, but it'd be like they were on the like sort of the fence, right? The way Diablo, it's got item levels, and it's like if you get an item level above 725, like it does a big boost.
Okay.
And you can upgrade your items, right? So like if you got like a 699, it was like, oh, it'll break the threshold if I fully upgrade it, and then this thing's gonna be sick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, this item's so good, but it's just falls short of being like that next tier good. So now that I'm in the final tier, I'm starting to get the ancestral items, and they're starting to get real juicy.
It's funny, you know, like you can really get into the weeds with a game like this. Like there's such the difference between like when you first start playing a Diablo game, you've never played one before, and you're just starting in World Tier 1 compared to someone who is in World Tier 4, and the types of items you're looking for and kind of what your goals are. They're so different, you know. Before we get too far into that, I do want to talk more about that kind of stuff. Just things especially for me to look forward to as I'm kind of starting that grind now. Overall impressions of the game, like what do you like, what do you not like about it, like what has stood out to you as kind of like accomplishments of this game that obviously is such a long time coming?
Yeah so a lot to like, but there are definitely things that I don't like or you know, look to hopefully maybe see some changes with. We'll start with the good. The tone and atmosphere of this game, right? Like I've mentioned before in previous podcasts where like Diablo 3 sort of, you could see the World of Warcraft influence in like the cartoony design, like, and you know, Diablo 3 isn't, you know, overly cartoony, but I guess more colorful in like a in a vibrant way, which is this game is much more right, like a macabre like feeling of dread and like I don't want to be like all cheery. And that's not to say there aren't places that are colorful, or you know, it's not like every zone you go to is just like, oh, it's just dark and depressing. But it just it feels like a Diablo game. They definitely hit the roots of that. You know, I really like the talent tree, how you sort of go down and, you know, each sort of tier has different abilities. And then, you know, more so, and we'll talk about the Paragon board, which I guess you're just starting to deal with.
Yeah. I've got about 10 points in there or something like that right now.
Oh, well, I tell you what, man, it gets bonkers. And that is where you're going to get your insane power gains.
Right on.
Which, you know, like I said, we'll talk about that. But I've been liking that. Yeah, like it's interesting, right? Because every Diablo game before it has pretty much had, or you know, especially 2 and 3, like, hey, this is the act. You go, here's sort of like the town of this act. You're gonna go out and do things like, you know, more or less linear. Like there's places to explore, but usually it's like, oh, you go through this area, then you go through this area, then you go through this area, and then this is much more just wide open, right? You sort of do the first little open scene, which you know, if anyone played the beta, is sort of like you get into the first main town that opens up a little bit. You could do acts 1 through 3 in any order, which I thought was cool, right? So it's like you sort of progress it in any which way you want. And then yeah, just, and again, I guess we'll talk more about the end game in a little bit, but I think the end game, it feels very varied, and there's a number of different activities to do, and you're not just doing Mephisto runs or Bale runs.
Oh
right?
My where gosh, yeah.
Where it's like funny. Literally,
as soon as you mentioned that, like it just conjures up these memories of like really repetitive gameplay, and like you're just waiting for like these 1 or 2% drops, you know. And it's just like, you know, it was fun to get the items you wanted, but doing those runs over and over again wasn't fun. And I like at least, you know, the first 30-40 hours of this game, like before you get into like that end game kind of grind, like I think the game is incredibly fun. I think the side quests are interesting. I think the dialogue and you mentioned like the tone, the world, like it does feel just much more adult and mature and not so arcadey, not so cartoonish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, of course, you know, the shades of color, the way things look is a big part of that. But I just don't feel like as I go from place to place, like that I feel like I'm having an impact in this world. I feel like, you know, you're making a difference in different people's lives, but you're seeing people dying, you're seeing people suffering, like there's all these towns you keep coming back to, like you're just kind of surrounded by suffering. And not that's a bad thing. I think it makes it feel like you're, you know, this light, this ray of hope or something like that. I like playing that kind of character. And yeah, there's just something about the fact that you're constantly moving around this world. You can teleport to the different towns, you're opening those waypoints, and you're going back to places you've been multiple times. And as opposed to, yeah, like Diablo 2 or 3, where you start in your town area and then you do the act and then you go to the next one, you don't really jump back to the old towns, you know, you just keep going forward. In this one, like I feel like I'm constantly going back to the old towns and, you know, doing new side quests or maybe going to, you know, my stash or build up my unlock a new potion or something like that. There's just a lot of reason to kind of go back to places and pick up things that you missed or didn't see the first time around.
Yep. And the beautiful thing about how the end game works is you're going to be going around to different spots pretty much anytime you play, because it seems like, and again, this is probably stuff you're just sort of touching on, the Whisper quests and the Nightmare Dungeons and the Helltides all sort of, you know, they take place all over the map. So it's nice to sort of, like you said, it's not, you know, it is repetitive in the sense like you're going to be killing lots of monsters, right? And doing, you know, similar things, but like they're varied enough where it's not literally like, hey, yeah. Oh, I mean, I get a good sorceress that like teleports down to level 4 real quick. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, that's why I saved the kind of tinkering with my build till now. Like that's how I want to keep the end game fresh for myself. Yes, I know I'm going to be doing a lot more, you know, monster slaying, but I wanted to have be playing around with like, okay, now I'm going to try electricity. I'm going to see what spells I like here. How does this play? And so I will feel like a little bit of a new character. I feel like I'm relearning the character again, I guess, while also facing off against harder monsters. So that kind of two-pronged approach to the end game for me. Like, that's how I keep it fun and engaging for me. Also, the fact that, like, I'm just more interested in playing with my buddies. You know, like, we were going through parts of the story together, and then it's just fun to just drop in and out with people, and whatever their level is, they can join you more or less. You know, they make it really easy. Stuff under the hood, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they make it super easy to play with friends. Yeah, all the character or the enemies, right, scale to you.
Yeah, so
you
can have very people, clever.
Yeah, with different levels playing together. It's as easy as, like, you can, like, hey, invite me, or I can request to be invited to your party. Mm-hmm, then all of a sudden a portal shows up and I can click on it in town, right? And I zap right over to you and boom, we're playing together.
I think
very clever how they did that.
It was something that, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting in 2023. And for a game like this, you just want the multiplayer to just work, to be seamless, no fuss, no muss. And I think they absolutely nailed that. I think of all the high points of this game, I think that's really one of them that stands out the most to me. Is like, you know, I've got all these different buddies on different consoles. We're all playing at different time zones, whatever, different platforms. It doesn't matter at all. Like, everyone can just join. The voice chat works. Everything works. Like, it's just nice to have a game that just works, you know, and you don't have to worry about, yeah, like, you know, think back to, like, trying to, like, set up like a LAN party or something at your house, and you spend 8 hours trying to set it up to play for like 20 minutes before you pass out. You know, mm-hmm, we're so far removed from something like that, that now we're all getting online in our different situations and we're all making it work. And it's just a blast, you know? So
yeah, my brother's playing on not, well, I guess it's Xbox One, right? Is last gen.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
that's right.
He's playing on that and I'm playing on PC, and yeah, we're easy to jump in and out and
it's
play.
Nothing.
And
yeah. Yeah.
It is crazy. How seamless that can be. And mm-hmm. And it's funny, right? Cause obviously, like, World of Warcraft is such a problem because there's so much leveling to get up to the current stuff. Right.
Yeah.
That,
sure.
Like, it's hard to join your friends and, like, oh, they got to play the opening night, but you didn't. So now you guys can't play until you're all leveled up.
Yeah, you're 24 hours behind or something, you know, and yep. that's very frustrating, right? Like,
so it's really crazy that they were able to do that here so seamlessly.
I think that's what can really sink a game like this and other online games, or at least something that does put me off too, is like, oh, if we're not all playing together at the exact same times and doing the exact same quest, like, someone falls behind, you get that FOMO, you know, and like there's enough of that kind of fear of missing out feeling in your day-to-day life,
you know? Yeah.
You don't want it in your online video games as well, you know. You want everyone to kind of just be able to hop in whenever. Like, we've got a friend, like, I literally sold him my Xbox Series S because I you know, I'd had it kind of sitting in the box, I wasn't using it, I want to maybe get an X for Starfield. I haven't even collected I haven't even collected any money from him yet. Like, I will give him, like, a very, very,
you're the worst scalper
price.
I've ever seen.
That's right. I'll just go Diablo 3 auction house on his ass, right? Like, that's how we'll figure it out. But no, I did want to touch on, because we kind of mentioned some of the highs of this game. So what do you hope that they address, or what are you looking forward to maybe changing, getting patched out, a little bit more of maybe where we think the game could improve?
Yeah, well, selfishly, as a necromancer, they need to fix, oh god, so corpse explosion, obviously a very iconic necromancer, yes, skill. Yes. I've got the modifier on it that instead of exploding, it turns into like a fissure zone or shadow, you know, void zone, and it does damage over time.
Okay.
But it like literally, like, it's like a like very dark looking circle around the corpse once it explodes. And I'm exploding, like, you know, 30 corpses, like, so literally, like, the half my screen is just like pitch black.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah.
And it's annoying because, like, after you kill an enemy, right, sometimes they'll blow up, but, like, the bomb is hidden behind all these black, like, void zones. So, like, instinctually, after I kill a big sort of special mob, I just run away. But, like, in the beginning, and, you know, it still happens from time to time.
Oh, yeah, you forget. You just
I don't see it, and then I just die, you know what I mean?
It's like, oh, no.
So selfishly, just, like, make that a little bit more, like, opaque, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever, just let me see
that,
through it a
that
bit.
Seems like an easy fix, you know, just one of those things I imagine.
I'm surprised it hasn't been rolled out yet.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe there's not enough necromancers out there complaining, but...
that's right, you gotta get back on Reddit.
But as far as the actual game, the one thing I've been noticing... is that a lot of the gear is just tailored to you, right? Like, it's always like got necromancer skills for me. Like, I'm not pulling items that are barbarian or, you know, or rogue or whatever. And, you know, some people might say, well, that's good, right? You're a necromancer, like, that you want those items. But, you know, I want to, you know, or what a big part of previous Diablo games and, you know, really, when I talk of previous Diablo, my heart and soul is with Diablo 2, right? So that's usually what I'm sort of comparing back to. And trading was a big aspect in that game. So in this game, right, like, I'm getting just items for me. So that, and a lot of them are just already like bound to me, so I can't even trade them. So and then that would be like, so the itemization of not getting any other classes, and then just, and that sort of piggybacks into just the lack of trading, or, you know, the focal point, like, not being on any trading, is sort of disappointing, because that was fun, right? Like, it was fun going back into games and, you know, haggling and hustling and bustling with random people. And, you know, maybe you find someone who maybe they just have tons of good gear and or whatever, and they're trading really good items away for seemingly under market, right? And you're like, that I remember back in the day, the first time we ever got an SOJ, like, we found this guy, he was like, he must have been a duper in hindsight, because he had, like, he was giving them away like candy. But like, that was the first time we ever had an SOJ. We were trading them like very mediocre stuff for these, and we were losing our minds, you know? So like, that whole element is gone, right? And then, even if trading really isn't a big thing, it would still be nice to be finding more items. Like, oh, look at that. I found like a sick, unique sorceress, you know, two-handed staff, right? Maybe, you know, I've been thinking about leveling up another character. I've already got this dope staff. Like, all right, I'm going with a source next. You know what I mean? Like, I've done that so many times in previous games. You know, you find like a crazy good item, and instead of trading it, you go, you know, I'm just going to start a new character.
Man, it's such a tough problem to solve, right? Because it makes sense that the items you find are for the character you have, and it can get frustrating, right? If you're with five classes, if you're a sorceress and you're picking up all this great gear for a barbarian or a rogue, and you can't find something for yourself, like that grates on you, you know? You're like, oh, I don't want to play those characters, or maybe you're playing more solo, you don't have buddies to trade with, and that, so that gets frustrating. So I hear that. I wonder if it could be something that, you know, maybe it's based on, like, if you've started this character, you know, you'll start. So, for example, in your stable of characters, you've got, you know, a sorceress, a necromancer, a druid. And so you start finding, maybe not, you know, 50-50 split or a 30-30 split kind of thing like that. But you start finding some items for those other characters that are in your stable. Or maybe you do it like after level 70 or after level 50 or after you've rolled credits or something like that. And then you start finding items for other characters. I don't know. I don't know how you fix that without taking away something that I think inherently just works well. And it will benefit most players at the expense of trading, obviously. But I think it's a fair thing to want, for sure. And the kind of memories, the experiences you're talking about, Casey, like, yeah, I'm with you. I think those are great parts of the older games, too. I'd love to find a way to kind of have our cake and eat it too in this situation. I don't know what that is, but, you know, if the team at Blizzard working on this game obviously know how to make a very compelling experience. So I trust that, you know, if there was a solution to that, they'd hopefully be able to find one that would work for almost everybody.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe even could be some sort of, you know, maybe they find a better way, a more elegant way to integrate it, but a toggle, essentially, right?
Sure.
That would be only gear, you know, tailored to me, or like maybe gear tailored to my roster, or gear you know, free-for-all gear.
That sounds awesome. Like, I think that would be a great way to appease everybody, right? You had to, every time you give players the choice to do something, it feels like that's a positive thing, the best option, if possible. It's just a matter of How can they actually implement that? Can they make it work? Obviously, with the player scaling, you know, multiplayer scaling they've done, like, I'm sure they have that. Maybe the capability is just, if there has to be a demand for it, I guess. For me, in terms of things I guess I would not harp on, but just something I guess I noticed, and now having gone through all the acts of the game, I do think that the bosses you encounter are fairly sameish. Like, I suppose I wish there was a little bit more uniqueness to their patterns, their attacks, the things they could do to you. A lot of them seem to kind of do especially in the second half of the game, those kind of where they put like a wave or they put a circle down. You have to get out of the circle before it expires and mm-hmm. damages you or stuns you. Or they'll summon like kind of red waves to kind of go at you and do a ton of damage, or they'll poison or lay down poison pools or something like that. I feel like you're dealing with that most of the time. And don't get me wrong, I loved the increase in the number of boss fights in the late game. I think it was a really fun part of the final two or three acts, was kind of just fighting all these different bosses and
really fun ones too.
Yeah, like, they were yeah. fun. It was fun to see like kind of old bosses make a return and stuff like that. Like it did that also made it feel like a Diablo game. Like, oh my god, it's this person from this game, and you're like, ah, I remember that. And just kind of bringing back those memories, obviously. But I did, at the end of the day, I did feel like it would be nice if they had a few more unique attacks, unique movements, things like that. I did still feel like some of them were a little more samey than I would like. So just something I noticed, not a major criticism or anything like that, but it's hard to look at a game like this that I'm enjoying so much, and obviously other people are too, and think, and this game's going to grow. You know, it's a live service game. The intention for Diablo 4 and games like it is to get better and better over time, to add more content. And we'll do some kind of make some predictions at the end of the episode here. But some of the samey kind of fights of the bosses was something I noticed that I would love to see improved upon. But,
can see that. I'm curious, and I'm sort of hoping that they take a little inspiration from Lost Ark. I don't know how much. Do you know much about that game at all?
I don't know.
It's like it's an MMO, but it's an action RPG.
Okay.
They would continuously, whatever intervals would like introduce new bosses in raids and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Diablo is going to do that route, but like, I'm hoping maybe like, hey, season one, there's a new boss, right? There's a new seasonal boss that's really hard or something, maybe like a set of bosses or,
And it's not just like a palette swap or, a boss rush or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a legit new
demon that we've never seen before, or one from one of the older games or
that. Even if it was like a reiteration of Diablo of some sort.
Right? I'd love seeing that stuff, honestly. Like,
yeah.
It's great.
Or Griswold comes back, but he's like way more badass now,
I meant to ask, just apropos of nothing, or I guess of bosses, have you fought the Butcher and killed him?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, you have. Yeah.
Have you?
I've seen him twice, and both times I was not in a position to fight him at all. Like, and I think as a sorceress, I just felt like it would be pretty tough unless I had like a better kit, I don't have a lot of ways of stunning or slowing them down, so I need my multiple dashes from my boots. I need like shields popping up, and I need my fire shield, especially where I can negate damage.
He's definitely a beefy boy.
Yeah. I've every time that I've run into him, I've been by myself, and I feel like if I had someone else nearby, we might have a fighting chance. But it's definitely scary when he pops up.
Yeah, the first time I beat him, I was in a group with my buddies, and then and it's funny because we were doing, I forget what dungeon it was, but it looked like a dungeon where the Butcher would be, that makes sense. And then all of a sudden I realized the Butcher could just show up pretty much anytime, any place.
Yes. Yes.
And just wreak havoc.
I think the same thing happened for me. The first time he popped, I'm like, this is the boss of the dungeon. I'm like, that's really cool. And it fit because it was like a furnace kind of area, with like mm-hmm. flames coal and char and all that stuff. And then the next time it was just like some random like underground place, but he shows up again. I'm like, okay, or it might have even been in like
out in the desert somewhere. You're like
one of the Haradrim areas, like one of the temples or something like that. I'm like, you shouldn't be here. Like,
I know for sure. Yeah, you don't belong here, brother.
No, that's right. But can we? I was hoping we could get into our classes, our builds a little bit more. In terms of abilities, especially. So you've played a lot of necromancer. I've played a lot of sorceress. What are the skills that we've leveled up? Like, what I know you mentioned Bone Spear, Corpse Explosion, obviously. Are there other spells or other perks that you've added specifically, like that kind of suit your play style or something like that? You went against like the pet class type of necromancer, obviously. But yeah, so what are you doing? What is your kind of standard? You run into a mob or a boss. What's your setup there?
Okay. Yep. So I started out doing minions, but I've switched since. So pretty much my abilities, what I'll do is I'll go out there, right? Like my normal attack, I think it's called like bone splinters or something.
Yeah.
It just shoots out a couple, it just generates. but the big thing is I'm going to want to get a couple corpses down, right, by killing enemies. And then I've got all sorts of stuff that like amplifies the corpse sort of
damage
yield,
radius.
The corpse yield, I guess, might be a good way.
Oh, sure.
For
okay.
It.
Okay.
So essentially, right, like I want to bone spear as much as possible. But, you know, obviously that used my essence, but I can get essence back by blowing up my corpses, which instead of blowing them up right now, they're just making void zones.
Yes.
And then what's beautiful is I've got corpse tendrils as well, which I do cast that over one of the dead corpses. And then it pulls in all the enemies in like a, you know, a radius onto that corpse. So it's, and then it like slows him down too.
Yeah.
So maybe. Essentially like I'll corpse them onto like already some void zones, but usually like honestly my bone spear is so devastating that like if I can tendril a bunch of people, it usually only takes one or two shots to just erase them all.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
And then like I also have a blight. So actually the ideal situation is tendril onto a spot, hit them with a blight because then they take increased damage when they're in the blight, and then I hit them with this bone spear.
I just love hearing about people's builds because it sounds so fun to play like that. And it's not necessarily how I would play a necromancer, but I feel like in Diablo 2 long ago, like I would play a Diablo or I play a necromancer like that with bone spear and with curses to, you know, whittle the enemies down or reduce the defenses and stuff like that. Like it just sounds perfect.
Yeah, I almost feel like a dark mage, right?
Sure,
because
sure,
like I'm not really using my minions as much as I'm just like blasting people.
Yeah, you're like a shadow mage or a blood mage or something like that, right? Like yeah, that's yeah.
And it's nice. I also corpse mist or something, I forget what the ability is called, but it's like my oh crap button.
Okay.
So like if things get a little too hairy, I can hit that and then I like transform into like a cloud of blood. And I could just sort of like just move away without like I don't take any damage or anything.
Yeah.
So it just sort of like a get out of jail free card.
That's funny.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that sound like the funny thing is that some of the things you're describing, we must play in a very similar fashion, because like I'll tell you about my build and you'll be like, oh, it sounds just like yours. So yeah. So my basic ability is just like a firebolt. And you throw those out, and every time you hit enemies, you get mana back for the sorceress. All of my abilities are fire or fire based. Fire adjacent, I guess. I played a lot of fireball early on, which does it, you know, as you might expect, it's just a big fireball with a big explosion radius when it hits. But the problem with fireball is that you get two or three casts of it, at least I was for the first half of the game when I was using it. You get two or three casts, and then yes, it does a ton of damage, but then you're out of mana, so you're constantly out of mana. So unless I guess I didn't prioritize throughout my build mana regen or things bringing mana back. So that build, you know, I knew I could improve upon that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fire beam. I think it's incinerate. I actually never tried it, and I haven't seen a lot of people using it either. I think it was very popular in Diablo 3, but I haven't seen a lot of people using it in Diablo 4. What I've got now is I have firewall. Firewall's awesome. Like it's not even like a higher tier spell, but you can just lay so many of them down and stack the damage that if you've got enemies that are just that aren't very mobile, or you have friends who can quickly stun bosses or elites or something like that, and you get them to sit in one spot, you know, with firewall,
you're tendrils, just, baby.
Just so much damage there, right? You mentioned kind of pulling enemies to the center, pulling them into one spot. And my ultimate ability, Inferno, basically does that. So it's like this giant fire snake that comes out of the ground, and it lasts about seven or eight seconds or something, maybe less. And it pulls enemies towards the center of it. But I also have this perk to it where as long as this fire snake is active, all my spells cost zero mana. So I can just spam like 10 firewalls, throw them all down while this Inferno serpent is like bringing them all to the center. And where I'm bringing to the center where my firewalls are sitting, right? So you can see how the damage kind of stacks pretty mm-hmm. quickly there. I also went pretty heavy into Hydra. Hydra is great for just if you're facing a boss that's really tough and you want to be kind of running around and not like kind of focus firing it. I can just lay down some Hydras, and Hydras are doing decent damage while
they're
I'm
almost
running
like
around.
Turrets, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And I love turret classes. I love abilities or classes where I can focus on having just constant damage where I'm not, I can just set it and forget it kind of deal, right? So my Hydras do that. And I've got, I think I have two items that are equipped to my character right now that improve my Hydra. One lets me summon a second one. Normally you can only have one. And the other provides a fourth Hydra head. So I've got, I literally have 4x2 Hydra heads spitting fire. I'll just throw them as I'm run, throw them down as I'm running through a dungeon, and they'll pick off like, you know, the weaker
you didn't even
enemies.
Need to stop.
Just constantly getting like a little bit of experience as I run through. So I don't need to stop and like kill all the hordes, just throw some Hydras down, throw a couple of firewalls down, and just beeline to wherever I want to go. So yeah, I've just having a blast, or have had a blast playing a fire-based character. And now I'm going to try the ice. I typically like ice spells just as a RPG gamer. So I'm going to try ice first. I've heard lightning's pretty good, so I'm going to save that one for last. But yeah, the characters are just, I mean, you can have so much fun with just one character. And you mentioned, you know, the Paragon board and getting higher on acquiring more of those points, and you can get even stronger that way, that it feels like the sky's the limit, you know, for customizability here.
Mm. And one you haven't about even gotten to the Paragon boards yet.
I know. That's the thing. Like, I know there's this much more to come. I was going to say just one more thing on progression and characters. The fact that it's so easy to just respec, like, you got to give them major props for that, right? It's so easy to just undo skill points you've put into something and put it into something else. I mean, you remember Diablo 2, putting a skill point in the wrong place, or...
Oh, you'd start a fresh character.
How devastating that was.
Before they put the quest in for the respec.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that many sleepless nights after having, you know... And it's just one skill point, but it's like, oh, you can never get that back until...
And then you're like, well, I've screwed the pooch and I'm only level 25. Do I just start?
You might as well
start
again,
over.
Right? Yeah.
God.
Imagine, you know, and we would, right? We would have done it. We would have restarted.
I remember getting rushed, you know, characters rushed, and then like,
yes,
that you didn't invest a single point until they were like level 60.
That's
and you're
right.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Let me just do this perfectly.
That's so funny. I remember obviously doing that just. It's as a memory of that game, like it's not something I would think about, but yeah, of course you got characters rushed up.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people have been doing it in D4 as well. That apparently it's actually pretty easy because like you don't even like, if you and me are in the dungeon together, we're getting experience for all of our kills, no matter how close we are to each other.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I like that idea.
So
I guess
they were getting people to just chill by the front door.
Right,
and then people just go in and do work.
Yeah, no, it's good. Like, yeah, again, however you want to play this game, however you want to enjoy it, it seems like you have that freedom.
And real quick before we move off of the character sort of discussion, and I think you'll start to see this more and more now, is that the legendaries will also affect your build, right, and your play style, because and that even leads more into the end game stuff. With how you can customize your gear and things. But some of the, like, your legendaries, like my one legendary, it essentially, it makes like anything it hits with the bone spear, it's vulnerable. But then I have another ability. So essentially like all the things I'm hitting, or most of them, are becoming vulnerable where they take extra damage.
Right,
and then I
right.
like have stacked damage for, you know, against vulnerable ability targets. Right. So like now I'm stacking that damage, and it's all just, it all sort of compounds and snowballs with one another, and it feels really good. And like in the beginning, you sort of mentioned, right, like you do a couple of your big, you know, fireball attacks, and this, or, you know, or whatever, not the builder, the spender of mana, and you'd be out of mana. Right. And I was feeling that also, where I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'll get some bone spears. And then like, luckily, like, just doing corpse explosion got me, you know, essence back also. So I like felt like it felt good still, but I'm finding now that, you know, I'm starting to really, you know, get more points on the Paragon boards. I'm starting to get some better gear, I'm finding that like my essence is not running out nearly as much as it used to be. And now I'm getting to spend more on just the big bone spear. So I wonder if maybe you might feel something sort of similar, you know, given in, you know, you get an extra 20 levels in Paragon boards.
Yeah, I mean, and that, I think that's why I want to just keep playing this one character and get them all the way up. Like, I want to see if, like, okay, I'm going to tinker around with some different abilities now. But yeah, maybe I pick up some items that are like, oh, this is so geared towards a fire-based sorceress. I should go back to that. You know, I should go back and use this item and see how that changes things, right? Like, I'm excited for those moments to happen, you know, pick up gear that makes me want to keep experimenting with the different abilities that you can have. And it's just fun to not feel locked into one particular type of character, or the fact that you can within each character class, there are so many different ways of playing them, right, and specking them out. So all of that, you know, again, got so many more hours of this game to play, so much more to do. And I imagine we'll probably do a revisit episode of the about Diablo 4, you know, as maybe the seasons roll out and we find more about, you know, what's coming next after this base game. I want to do a couple more things here. I want to do favorite moments. So what are, you know, one or two of your favorite moments of the game so far? Something specific, or even just something kind of a general, maybe, you know, one session you had where something really cool happened, something like that.
Well, most recently beating the capstone to get to tier 4 felt pretty good. Especially like I said, I'd stepped in there, sort of got my keister kicked.
Yeah.
And then I went back in there and really didn't face really any trouble. You know, I cleared the entire instance without dying. And then, you know, it took me 3 tries to kill the boss. You know, I killed in the third try. First one I did, like, I think I got down to where there was like a quarter of the health left. Okay. I was like, oh, okay, not too bad, not too bad. Then I just got absolutely obliterated the second time. Like, I don't know what it was. He just hit me hard, and I just died in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I went back in there and I did it again and beat it. So that felt refreshing to be like, okay, you know, like I'm feeling like tangent. Like I felt how much more powerful I was getting, you know, mm-hmm. which always felt good. You know, there was a number of really awesome cutscenes. You know, Blizzard always does an awesome job.
Yeah, the cutscenes are incredible in this game, especially in the final act or two. Like, they're just so cool. Like, you kind of don't want them to end. Like, yeah, you want to get back to playing the game, but you're just like, I would watch more of this. Like, I would watch another,
give me
like,
Diablo movie,
hour
man.
Or two of this. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, then like I don't want to spoil anything. But yeah, I'd say a return of a boss or two.
Mm-hmm.
That just, you know, smile from ear to ear.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, same
so,
here for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see those names pop up or someone's mentioning one of them before you even encounter them. Like, oh, really? Like, that one's going to show up again? Like, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Really,
you're
really
like,
cool.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely rewards people who have played the earlier games in some fun ways. So if you haven't gotten to Diablo 4 yet, you're waiting to pick it up, I mean, when the season starts or something like that, you definitely have lots to look forward to. I think my favorite moments are kind of just in general rather than specific ones. I think I really like the fortresses. Is that what they're called? Or the those kind of big instances where you kind of like, you find an area has got like a red castle icon on the map. And I just feel like those are really fun to play with a group. Like, soloing them can be quite tricky. I think you just easy to get overwhelmed by the enemies there. They're at least pre 50, I found they were usually a higher level than I was. Like, if I was, you know, 46, they would be 48 or something like that. So definitely a stiff challenge for a solo player, but with 2 or 3 people, I think they're pretty fun. It's easy to get wiped as a team, but you know, when you get to the end of one of those fortresses and you're the last person standing and you got to revive your teammates to try to keep them in the fight so you don't wipe and you have to try it all again. I just think those are really fun multiplayer parts that, they've got multi-stages to them. They're not like in a quick, like 60 second mission. Those can take like 10, 15 minutes to finish sometimes, it feels like. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a big fan of those. Every time I discover one, I kind of like save it. And be like, when my group gets together, I'll be like, hey guys, let's hop in. Let's do a fortress or two here to start off with or to end the session. So those are probably my favorite, kind of just general areas of the map to go into with friends. And Just generally, I think I really enjoy playing the game with other people. I think it's a really fun multiplayer game. Like, the solo experience is really good too, but I think Diablo really hits its stride when you're on comms with your buddies and just, you know, kind of just chatting away, but also, yeah, focusing pretty hard when you get to like something tough, or, you know, everyone's dying around you, you know, it's really
doing good. Work as well. Yeah.
Yes, that's for sure. Last thing before we head out here, just any kind of predictions or thoughts about what's next for, let's focus on Diablo 4 rather than, you know, Diablo 5 or some crazy thing like that. But what's coming next for this game? What do we want out of the seasons or an expansion pass? And of course, we have to talk about, you know, what classes do we think are coming next?
Well, sort of, yeah, how we mentioned before, I would love to see, right, we already know seasons are coming. Yeah. For people who aren't really familiar with action RPGs, right, that's sort of how they'll do a season where everyone, you know, starts fresh characters, in, you know, they, you can only play with other, you usually call them ladder characters, and then, or they might call them seasonal characters, I don't know how mm-hmm. they do it, but essentially, right, you all level up, usually, right, different seasons have sort of different affixes or different sort of, you know, wrinkles to keep it fresh. So, you know, season to season is sort of the idea is there's, you know, each season will feel different. You know, obviously it can only feel so different being it's the same game and all that stuff. But, you know, like I said, I hope it'd be great if, you know, every season you got a new boss, or, you know, maybe every other season you got like a you know, a fresh new boss. I don't know. It would be really cool to keep introducing that kind of stuff.
I mean, they usually have like specific seasonal challenges, right? They have objectives for you to complete. At least they did with 3 that I can remember. You had objectives to complete as part of that season. If you did that, you'd get special gear or special cosmetics or something like that, right? Like that there's that incentive to play the seasons, especially if you're already into the game and you're enjoying it. You buy that battle pass, you subscribe mm-hmm. for the season. Because you want that special gear, you want to complete those objectives, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be honest, like, I've never been a huge season player really with Diablo. Like, I feel like anytime I jump in, it's usually like, I guess like with Diablo 3, I was never like, ooh, a new season starting, I'm going to play. Yeah. Like, I always just happen to play and like, oh, I'd make a new seasonal character and mess around with it. But, so I'm excited to sort of really, it'll be my first real time getting into the nitty gritty of seasons, but
yeah, me too.
But yeah, so I'm a little excited for that. Yeah. And I just hope they keep good communication, because it seems like so far they've been, you know, with changes and things, like I said, they've been sort of forthcoming with what they're doing and what they're planning on doing. So I hope that open communication stays strong. And please, no pay to win. Just stay away. Stay away.
yes, exactly. Yeah, I think we definitely agree on that. Yeah, I do. I definitely want to get into the first season or two, see how that goes. You know, see how does that differ from like kind of the standard gameplay? For me, like this does feel like a game I could go for the platinum trophy on playing on PS5. I should have mentioned that earlier, but it does feel like the kind of game where if you want to see everything it has to offer and you say, okay, I'll just go for the platinum, that'll probably give me an opportunity to kind of test out all the characters, you know, do some end game content, reach level 100, all those kind of milestones you want to hit anyways. If they're tied to trophies, for me, that, you know, I sometimes just get really into that. I'm like, oh, Diablo 4 feels like a game I'm playing enough to consider doing that platinum. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you plan on rolling the same character, or are you going to pick a fresh character for season 1?
Oh, I would definitely choose a different one. My objective would be like every time, like if I got heavily into the seasons, or anytime I have an opportunity to start a new character and it just makes sense, I'm going to do that. So, or a new class, I should say. So I at some point I want to try all of them. I believe there are specific trophies attached to each class right now, so I've got the Sorceress one. I don't know if I have the Necromancer one, but at any rate, I that's another reason for me to just try a different one. So I played Druid in the beta, so I'll try Rogue or Barbarian. Even though those types of characters don't really appeal to me so much, their playstyle, I'll probably start with Rogue. I do like some of the things I'm hearing about Barbarian and the way they've kind of made it a little bit more unique or fun or varied to play, so I do want to see that. But yeah, typically I just leave those characters to last, because they're just not, don't suit my play style, my RPG style as much. But yeah, during the seasons, I absolutely will try new classes. That'll be my opportunity to do that. So I'm looking forward to that too. I don't know what the expansion will do in terms of story content. I mean, I think that there are some things at the end of the story that are unresolved, obviously, that Diablo seems kind of famous for that. Set the idea of setting up an expansion, you know, or setting up new content. Mm-hmm. They're obviously going to do that. They want people to think about what's coming next. I imagine it would provide a new act, probably a new map, you know, pretty basic stuff. But in terms of classes, like a buddy of mine from work today, we were kind of talking about, you know, what potential new classes there could be. And you just think, you obviously have to start with the classes that have already been in Diablo, right? So what's missing, you know, we can think of Paladin, mm-hmm. Monk, Witch Doctor. I think that's kind of it, right? Like Amazon, I guess you kind of get the Amazon.
That's sort of like the rogue with, you know, yeah.
You don't really have a spear or javelin class, so if there could be something related to that, I don't know.
I wonder if they could have almost like a lancer or a dragoon kind
of. So you're kind of halfway between melee and range. You have like really long melee range, you know, that would be neat.
I would be interested in that. That would be cool, like using pikes and stuff.
Another one I was thinking of is maybe like ninja or samurai, you know, some like a sword specialist who maybe also
with
has a lot of speed
like stuff.
Or they have some spells, some movement abilities, you know, they can teleport around or something like that. That would be neat.
Although the monk used staves and stuff, I believe, in D3,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So yeah, they could,
right,
sort of. I think the most pressing, you need the paladin.
That's where we kind of settled on in our discussion this morning.
That
too,
has
was
to
like,
be the
yeah,
one.
Paladin's got to yeah. be. I think people are kind of expecting that, you know, that there isn't really a paladin type class right now. So.
I'm surprised. It's such a, you know, I know there wasn't a paladin in 3, but I mean, the crusader, they're different classes, right? Like a crusader's a little bit more bulky and slow than a paladin.
Providing those buffs to other characters just seems like a big part of this game. It's already kind of built into it. So if you had a character kind of specializing in that, that'd be kind of neat, you know, where you feel like, oh, every group needs to have a paladin. Like they're so helpful. Shielding your team and stuff. Right.
I would love a paladin. Oh, Demon Hunter. Did you say Demon Hunter?
No, I didn't. And yeah. So
that's also sort of like a rogue.
It's kind of the rogue. It's kind of the assassin. They've all kind of blended together.
Sort of blended.
You know?
Well, it's funny because I've seen some people like, well, the barbarian's just pretty much the barbarian from Diablo 3, which is pretty much the barbarian from Diablo 2. Yeah. And it's like, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, like, the barb
people
is
who
a
like
stable.
Playing barbarian, they want to do their whirlwinding, right? But I think they've
That's
added
brother,
some new
dude.
Mechanics to make it more enjoyable to play now, right? Like it's not, you're not just tornadoing like a Tasmanian devil the whole time. You know, there's other things you could do, right? So,
But yeah, I would say paladin for sure,
yeah.
And then I would like to see, right? Because that would sort of put you at what, barbarian. Paladin would be too melee heavy.
Yeah,
then you'd have necromancer, source as the
spell,
you know,
casters.
Then I guess druid is sort of a combo, but leans more melee.
Yeah,
right.
Druid's melee, but with pets as well. And then the transformations are all melee too. But you can go spellcaster there. Like druid's kind of like the jack of all trades, right? You can kind of roll it however you want.
I think that's sort of like the rogue, right? Because you could really sort of pick between like more daggers and swords or
yes that's
or,
true
bow. But I've heard, and granted I haven't done a ton of research, but I've heard that the bow rogue was sort of meh.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm not sure
it seemed like more rogue players were going melee.
Interesting. Yeah,
but yeah,
well, I want to try one at some point. As soon as someone tells me, like, oh, it's not that great, I'm like, oh, I want to see how bad it is. You know, like, I'm sicko like that when I'm playing a game like this. I'm like,
it's actually,
can I make it good?
I have made, like, I have a level one rogue that I made to get ready to play at some point.
Yeah, good.
But I tell you what, doing all the renown and stuff, when you start a new character, you are beefed.
Yes, exactly.
Because you start with like 10 skill points and stuff.
That's right. Yeah,
so you're
a
level one.
I love
with,
that
like,
stuff.
Your third
I love
tier
that, like,
item.
The things you do with one character can carry over to the rest of your characters. It's such a cool, that's such a great idea. It really is. That incentive to, I guess, go really far with one and then go back and try another one. And you're not totally resetting or going back to zero.
And you have your mount,
you know?
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So yeah, you're real nice. I guess real quick before I think we wrap it up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen about the like real unique items that have like the stupid low drop rates?
No, I haven't. That's I mean kind of what I guess what I'm kind of going to be looking into now as I go into tier 3 and tier 4 here. So yeah, tell me about that. What's up with that?
Well, they've got like the Shaco, right?
Okay.
Like you get a Shaco, you can get the Godfather, right? Sword and yep. like but I think like out of all of the people in the world, like there's like 5 known drops. like okay. there's like just I don't nuts, think man. Anyone's found I forget if it's a Godfather or Grandfather. I think it's Grandfather sword. I don't think anyone's found that one yet.
Right, right.
Like there's been like one Shaco. So it's like,
so it's like one per class kind of thing, or
in the world, like there's oh, literally gosh. Been like five of these drops or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
so nuts. People have been like, what the heck? Like this Shaco dude gives yeah. you +4 to all of your skills.
Oh my God.
Like it's no, unbelievable.
No, that's yeah. That's like, broke, man.
So, broken. but yeah. So it's like, where's like, right.
Like, what do you have to World be like? Warcraft, you have to be like, level 100 always... to even have a chance at stuff like that, right? Like,
I guess people are like, "What the heck is going on here?" Because it's like, it's one thing to have like a 1% drop, right? It's another thing to have like what a 0.001% or whatever,
yeah,
like
yeah, or less.
So it seems like they only drop. I don't know if it's only, but like they have, I guess probably the only way they drop is from 85. Bob's 85 or higher.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
So that already cuts down like a big segment, but
yeah, there's just not enough players at that level farming, you know, those mobs yet to see more of these drops, I guess, you know,
but it still seems
still
low.
Wild. Yeah. Yeah. Still wild.
Dude,
I mean,
Shaco, dude.
It's almost funny right now. You do something like that now and everyone's like, oh, they're so rare. Everyone's talking about it, right? Everyone's talking about these items that no one has. It kind of gives them this mystique, I suppose. And
you know what I'd do if I found a Shaco? I'd sell my account. There'd probably be some dummy out there who would pay like
right.
$5,000 to be the one of the two people in the world for the Shaco.
That's right. That's right.
Pre-season 1.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you gotta go a little bit. You gotta go PvP a little bit first and show people how it's done with your incredible
with the big swag.
4+ skills. Oh my gosh, it's
not. I tell you what, I haven't done any PvP yet.
Neither have I. Yeah.
They have 2 zones that are sort of dedicated to it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it.
I do want to explore. I've just been honestly, I've hit level cap where I beat sort of the game, and I've just been rotating doing the Hell Tides, which
yes,
are super fun if you haven't done them yet.
No, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you go out there and you get some really, really nice rewards from the chests and then the nightmare dungeons. There's just plenty to do. So I'm excited to sort of hear your act 2, if you will, of your quest.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's the reason why we should do another episode. I think there's just this game is going to change over time when the seasons start up, you know, maybe after this first season or two or something like that, we'll come back, we'll revisit the game. Obviously, you know, we'll probably have hit 100 and tried a lot of different characters, and we'll have just a lot more things to say about the game. So let's put a pin in it for now. Let's we'll wrap up here. Good talking to you, Casey. I feel like we haven't at least been on together or done a solo episode, the two of us, in a long, long time. So it's good to finally get to talk Diablo 4 with you for a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So let's we'll call it a night here. Thanks everybody for listening. You know where you can find the podcast, your app of choice or Spotify. Leave us a review. Leave us a comment there. Always appreciate that and helps the visibility. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/thethirstymage. We'd love your support there. You get the episodes early and some bonus episodes too. But yeah, that's it for this episode. I was going to say, we'll have Final Fantasy 16 episode next week, but David's the only one playing it right now. So we might have to hold off on that for a little bit. I know, Casey, you're going to get to Final Fantasy 16.
I can't wait
in the near future. So yeah. And I almost want to get into it. Just I'm morbidly curious about all these articles that have popped up saying like, it's not RPG enough. And
did you not plan on picking it up?
I didn't plan on picking it up. Cause I figured, you know, between Tears of the Kingdom, which I'm not even halfway done, Diablo 4, and then just the fact that it's summer and just busy with summer stuff, like kids are out of school and things. I figured one of the games would have to drop, and it was that one. Not to say I wouldn't ever play it. It's more just like I wasn't going to play it at launch. I kind of just knew that about myself already. So
yeah, no, that makes sense. And you know what? If you wait till probably Christmas time, if you decide you want it, you might even be able to get it on sale or something.
I think so too.
Black
Friday. This will be a Black Friday, you know, maybe 30 or 50% off type of game, I feel like. So they'll want to bolster their sales before the end of the fiscal. So that makes a ton of sense. Actually, and I kind of want to play Pikmin. I'm kind of excited about Pikmin 4.
Oh, dude,
so,
yeah,
I want to get into that.
My demo goal just is dropped, to hopefully right, so. Beat Zelda. Yeah, because I was playing a bunch of Zelda, loving it. Then yeah. Diablo came out, and then I didn't play for like 3 weeks.
Yes.
And then I've slowly started to pick it back up. And my goal is, because I'm going on a little family vacation next week, so my goal is to beat Zelda by the time I get back. Yeah. So then this way I can play Final Fantasy and Pikmin, because those games are, you know, they feel like they'd be good paired together.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you can play Pikmin handheld pretty easily too. You know, it's not something you have to have on your TV.
Yeah, I don't need the big TV. Yeah. And then D4 here is just going to probably be a consistent in the background.
You say that, and that was in my mind with Final Fantasy 16 coming out in the same month. I'm just like, okay, Diablo 4 is not like a game you finish in a week. It's like or 3 months where you're probably playing it regularly, at least, you know, and maybe
the next decade on and off, probably. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And they'll rope us all back in with the expansion and these classes we've predicted. Right. So
I guess just quick last note, it's just I couldn't be happier with D4 right now. Yeah. I mean, is it perfect? Probably not, you know, and there are going to be things they're going to continue to fix and stuff. But, you know, I guess really, honestly, Diablo series, you know, outside of the atrocious microtransactions in Immortal, mm-hmm. they've done a good job of taking care of the franchise, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, like Warcraft 3 Reforged was so bad, so there was some worry with D2, but they nailed that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, D4, like I said, I've been having a blast. So
I mean, it feels like the jewel in their crown, if that's the expression. You know, like Diablo is the one I imagine it's like the one they're kind of taking care of the most, you know, like StarCraft, like who knows if there's going to be a StarCraft 3, no idea. Real-time strategy is a little bit more niche now. People want to play games like this, action RPGs, where they're constantly getting that dopamine hit of leveling up and gear and loot dropping. Like it's a genre right now that is very hot, in addition to live service games just being potential cash cows, right? So yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. I hope they don't monetize it to the point where it impacts the enjoyment of people that don't want to spend extra money like that. But the seasons I think are going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing how those go. Let us know, you know, if you're playing Diablo 4, what class are you playing? You know, are you enjoying the game? Is there something that you hope gets improved upon or patched in the future? You can always hit us up on Twitter at @thirstymage. We will call it a night. Hope everyone has a great week, and we'll see you again next week. Bye.
Adios.